Welcome to this joint EAS Central South podcast. In this podcast, Nikki Hagendyke from EAS and Kath Lewis from Central South are in conversation about how middle leaders can prepare for the curriculum for Wales.
So Kath, at this point in time, when we've got about five terms to go until the curriculum for Wales needs to be implemented for year seven and for all of the years in primary schools, what's your advice at the moment about what middle leaders should be doing?
The very first thing is really engaging with the framework, reading the guidance that's available for you on Hub, to get under the skin of it, to get to understand the structure of the framework and the philosophy of it. And it's only really when you start to unpick what this framework means, because its function is very different from the national curriculum that we've had till now. It's only then that those discussions that you can have as part of the engagement phase that you have with teams can be actually really meaningful, that they can be challenging, you can really interrogate the framework. But you have to have that baseline understanding, that knowledge of the framework, before you can really do that effectively. The major thing that I know that myself and you, Nikki, in our support with schools, we have been sharing the newly released Curriculum for Wales, the Journey to 2022 document. And that's a document that we spent some time in the regions and with Estyn and Welsh Government creating as a shared expectations of let's distill the process of getting from wherever we are, whatever our starting point is, to enacting in 2022. And so we distilled down the process into stages, and then looked at, OK, what sort of activity might characterise each of those stages in school. And that's really important. So this document isn't ambiguous or high level guidance. It's really at an operational level. If you take that document and you start at the beginning, you start with the engagement phase, and you look at those bullet points. What is it that we should be doing in our schools to support us to engage? What sort of activity may characterise that? That is the most fantastic starting point. And you know, we have suggested in the Journey to 2022 document that takes one to two terms. And it really does, to do it well, to be able to engage with the guidance, to be able to establish vision, it does take a long time. And I think that it's any time that's put into that stage is time well spent. You may actually spend less time on your design and trialing phase that follows. But if you've really put the foundations in to understanding the framework and having conversations, looking at research about this sort of curriculum framework, then you will be ready for what you apply over the top, which is, of course, then your pedagogy, your actual curriculum design.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said there about professional conversations. And I think that's really, really vital in schools, that we start the process of really structured, purposeful, collaborative professional conversations focusing on the curriculum. And I think what's really important is to try and focus on the, you know, the why, the what and the how. The curriculum really is defined very much as what we teach, why we teach it and how we teach it. And I think as we're really engaging with the guidance and as we're looking really at the curriculum and developing our vision for the curriculum, and we're engaging in that research that you talked about, really asking those questions in a purposeful, structured way with the teams in school. And by that, I mean the widest sense within schools and settings, really involving the learners, involving parents, involving outside stakeholders, involving governors, to really develop that real vision of what your school level curriculum is going to be. So I think asking those key questions of why, what and how is really, really central. I think also I'd flag up at this point engaging in professional learning. We've had quite a few professional learning events that have happened, engagement events. There's also quite a lot of information online, and there is also the national program of professional learning that will be starting next term. And I think it's really important to engage with that, and also to make sure that what you're doing within schools marries up with the professional learning program nationally, and that you're engaging as many of your staff with that program as you can. So when you're advising schools, how do you advise them really to sort of create this conditions within school for these professional conversations about the curriculum to happen?
That's a really, really key question, actually, that, you know, creating time and space for this to happen. I know myself and my team in Central South, we've discussed that, yeah, if we could close our schools for a year and just concentrate on curriculum for Wales, then we could enact a fantastic curriculum across Wales. But we've also all got the day job to consider as well. So we've, as part of that National Professional Learning Programme you mentioned, Nick, we've got for head teachers and senior leaders modules on leading change, on establishing vision, and on how to create time and space for professional learning. So we've got examples from schools where they have managed to find that time, create the space so that their staff can engage in collaborative professional conversations, and not just within AOLEs, obviously across AOLEs, but also, most importantly, across clusters, because, you know, we've really got to now get to grips with, as you said, the key questions of why we're delivering what we are, what, how, in what order, and actually, if we're going to progress along this learning continuum 3 to 16, that has to be done within clusters, and you know, our funding approach supports that. So clusters have been funded for Curriculum for Wales priorities. So the major thing is, you know, removing some of the barriers to that, I think, isn't it, that we need to look at what are the current barriers, and across clusters they may be very different. So for head teachers and senior leaders to look at, if they've already got a really successful cluster collaboration, that's fab, they can build from there. But if they don't, identifying what's getting in the way of those things happening, and then trying to really move through them so that collaborative discussions can take place, and making sure then that we're building the curriculum from the bottom up, and we're not just taking that top-down approach. Here's the qualifications, here's the spec, and let's sort of let that backwash right through to a three-year-old. But we need to look at those three-year-olds coming in, and let's really look at their trajectory. What should they be able to do, know and understand at each step of their journey moving all the way to 16? And it's only when we do that that we're really going to get to the why, isn't it? We're going to help those children and young people to realise the four purposes. In terms of your advice with schools, Nikki, what are the key things that are your takeaways at the moment from your conversations about the new curriculum?
I mean, I think the big one you've already touched upon there is working with others and not having these conversations in isolation. Schools and teams and practitioners really do need to work together. So you mentioned across cluster. Yes, completely. We're also thoroughly supporting the cluster based model to try and look at the whole learning continuum from 3 to 16. And I think as well within schools, it's really important that teams are working together, and that practitioners are not developing their AOLE curriculum within just their AOLE within a secondary school, for example. But it should be across the whole school. It should be teams across the school working together, collaboratively developing their vision for the whole curriculum, developing their understanding of the whole curriculum. I think within that, you need a whole school approach to this. So you very much need a whole school approach to developing the conditions for creating this professional dialogue and professional conversation that is going to lead to the evolution of a school level curriculum. So you talk lots about time and space. That's really important. But I think leadership's really crucial as well. It's really important that school leadership is creating the right circumstances for this. I also think it's quite important that school leaders see that there are certain different challenges within each AOLE. So, you know, every AOLE needs to be engaging with the whole framework and looking at what the four purposes mean for their learners, what the continuum of learning means, what the what matters mean for them, the central importance of progression and pedagogy. But there are some sort of bespoke challenges within AOLEs that perhaps also need to be flagged up. So, you know, in maths and numeracy, the proficiencies are quite a new element that's been brought into the understanding of what progression looks like in maths and numeracy. In other areas of learning, there are new subject areas that are incorporated within those areas of learning. So there's a need to really look at what professional learning is needed, what kind of upskilling, what subject knowledge teachers need to have to be able to effectively deliver those areas. So I think it's about having a whole school programme to really create the conditions for curriculum reform, allowing that time and that space, but also making sure that people are working together, but that the differences in how they perhaps need to work together are really identified as well.
Nikki, that I think that's really key, and that's something I know we speak about a lot, that at this stage, the engagement phase, and if we look at the Journey to 2022 document and the activity and the guidance for what this, it's very much establishing that whole school vision for curriculum. You know, any previous vision you had for the national curriculum or your mission statements, they just won't be fit for purpose now under the, you know, when we really understand the philosophy of the new curriculum for Wales. But definitely it's having better conversations, perhaps as Christine Council says, better conversations with subject leaders, and realizing that yes, there's going to be a whole school vision, but underneath that whole school vision, then each AOLE may well have to set a path for their own AOLE vision. Because as you said, for some AOLEs, their model of teaching, which will be led by their vision, may be for a very integrated interdisciplinary approach. For some, it will be very discipline led. There's a definite need to recognise the individual characteristics, not just of each AOLE, but the subjects and disciplines that constitute it. So I think allowing individual AOLEs to shine through and making sure that our middle leaders have a really key part to play in conversations, not just with the practitioners in their own teams, but with those leaders, as it's the middle leaders, those subject experts, the AOLE experts, who need to also be driving this forward and making sure that their AOLE voice is heard in establishing their vision.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, middle leaders are often described as the engine room of a school. And I would use that description about the curriculum reform as well. You know, the senior leaders in a school need to be developing the vision and leading the change and creating the right circumstances. But middle leaders really have an absolutely crucial and vital role to play, because I don't think it's going to be the case that there's going to be a one size fits all. There are bespoke issues and needs of each AOLE. So it could end up that schools have slightly different approaches within AOLEs and across AOLEs. The curriculum design might look different within different AOLEs. Pedagogy might look different in different AOLEs. So there's bespoke challenges that middle leaders really need to take on and seize the reins of leading this change themselves within their schools.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's really empowering. And that's where perhaps the level of agency that was always an ambition of Curriculum for Wales comes into its own. It's really with those middle leaders driving that, isn't it? And advocating for this subject, for the disciplines, for the AOLE, and saying, this is what we need for this AOLE. But also keeping that under review, you know, it's going to be very much a spiral process, isn't it? And we're constantly, what we establish and what we set as a vision over perhaps the next two terms, by the time we've actually gone through that as a cycle and we've added curriculum design and trialing, so that we may go back and re-establish the vision again. But it is about, it's very much iterative, isn't it? And keeping that eye on the learning continuum and on how our AOLE is helping children and young people to realise the four purposes, because we can't possibly realise them if we're all just having a lovely time in school. Children can only embody those four purposes if they're also knowledgeable, if they're highly skilled, if they've had really rich authentic experiences. And of course, so all of those statements of what matters, the descriptions of learning, that level of content that signposted in Curriculum for Wales is needed to help those young people achieve the four purposes, and definitely that needs to be driven then by our middle leaders.
Yeah, I think it's actually a fantastic opportunity for middle leaders really to gain such great experience of co-constructing the curriculum. I mean, internationally, when you look at curriculum reform and curriculum design internationally, there's very few countries that have given this amount of power really to schools and to practitioners to design their own curriculum. So not only were the pioneer school practitioners involved in designing the framework, this is the responsibility of schools to really develop their own school level curriculum. And that puts enormous power and autonomy in the hands of schools. And the need for agency is absolutely vital. But you do need to consider the sort of barriers that there are to teacher agency. you know, schools have got to have the right conditions and teachers have got to have the right conditions to be able to achieve agency, to be able to make those decisions and to be able to lead change. And we're very much not used to that, are we? So we've been in a situation where the curriculum for many years has been defined to us. We've had very little authority over what we teach. Or indeed why we teach it. It's been very, very prescribed in the past. We've never had to have these conversations. I'm a historian. We start with 1066 and we start with the Middle Ages, but we've never really had much of a conversation about why we do that. What's the rationale for that in the current curriculum? So we're not used to having these conversations and we're not used to having this level of agency. And I think that's the real challenge for schools at the moment. And the real challenge for middle leaders is seizing the opportunity that the curriculum is giving them, but also making sure that they've got the right conditions within their schools and their settings to really seize this opportunity in the best way so that they can really deliver a curriculum that is actually what we need for our young people, that gives them those knowledge, skills and experiences so that they can realise the four purposes.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. It's about, and what we need from our head teachers, our senior leaders, is that culture, that establishing a really positive culture and ethos in schools that does empower the middle leaders to be able to drive forward at that curriculum level as they need. And I think sometimes key to understanding that, definitely for middle leaders, and I know this is again something that we've both spoken about, is also understanding where Wales fits as a model, because I think on the simplest terms, it's very easy for practitioners to say we had a previous national curriculum and then our schemes of learning. So practitioners and middle leaders are assuming that the curriculum for Wales comes in, replaces the national curriculum, so they have curriculum for Wales and then the schemes of learning. But what I know both of us, Nikki, have been trying to do with our schools is saying, actually, Curriculum for Wales doesn't just replace national curriculum. Curriculum for Wales, and we're very careful to call it a framework, it isn't a curriculum in itself. So it sits at a higher level than the previous national curriculum. So when we talk with schools about establishing that culture for change, empowering middle leaders to design their curriculum, we're not talking about schemes of learning. We're not talking about topics and lesson plans. We're talking under curriculum design about designing across a cluster what's going to be taught, in what order, when, why, how. And then underneath that, that's when your schemes of learning, your lesson planning, your topics, all of the pedagogy, the exciting parts, the how comes into play. But I think that's something that we've both tried to work on with middle leaders, to understand the process, and that actually we've got an additional layer there, so that the school level curriculum really is what has to, of course, align to Curriculum for Wales, but that's what has to identify those key concepts, the specific their knowledge and skills and experiences that all learners need in order to progress and embody the four purposes, but also then at a school level, how you bring those key concepts, knowledge, skills to life is very much up to you. And you were saying about, you've always, 1066 right through, but actually what were the key concepts, what were the big ideas of learning about 1066 and going through those things? And actually, once you've distilled in your school level curriculum the key concepts, those big ideas that of course align to the framework, then it may be appropriate that each school is doing it through a different means, through, you know, you might be looking at conflict and resolution, you might do it through 1066, or you might do it through Black Lives Matter, or so each school will have that autonomy to choose context that's appropriate to them. But I definitely think it's understanding that model, and that we've got three layers or three tiers in Curriculum for Wales that we didn't have previously.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's not just engaging with the idea that it's a framework and then a school level curriculum. And then from your school level curriculum, that's when you start thinking about your schemes of learning, your assessment policy. For me, it's also making sure that when you're looking at the Curriculum for Wales guidance, you're going in the right direction and looking at the right bits first. So it's looking from the top first, centering on the four purposes, then looking at the statements of what matters within each AOLE, and then considering how learners progress within that. There's a real danger of people perhaps looking at the assessment, looking at the descriptions of learning before they've engaged very much in those bigger questions of what their school curriculum is going to look like and how it's going to facilitate progression in those big ideas, in those key concepts that are encompassed within the What Matters, those big questions of how you're going to design your curriculum need to be answered, at least, you know, in draft form, albeit as part of an iterative process, and it may change over time. But you have to have those answers before you can then go detailed lesson planning, schemes of learning planning, the planning for assessment. That does sort of come after. What I wanted to flag up with you as well is pedagogy, because I think what's really important about the curriculum is it's not just what we teach, but it's how we teach it as well. It's the why we teach things, the what we teach, and the how. And I think the how is really crucial. And as you're developing as middle leaders your vision for the curriculum, it is quite easy to focus on the what. What are we teaching? What order are we doing things? What's the sequencing? What are the key concepts we're focusing on? It's quite easy sometimes to forget the why, but also to forget the how. Okay, so it's quite easy to forget the how. And I think that's really, really crucial, because Dylan Williams said that pedagogy trumps curriculum. He said that a bad curriculum well taught is preferable to a good curriculum badly taught. And I think that's a real crucial thing, that as middle leaders are thinking about the curriculum, as they're engaging with the model, and as they're looking at their curriculum design and the big picture of their curriculum design, that's where you need to really be considering the how as well as the what and the why.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, while the pioneers and other stakeholders were writing and redrafting the curriculum, and we couldn't confidently tell other schools what would specifically be published as part of Curriculum for Wales, the things that we clung on to and we could advise schools to move on was the four purposes, so the vision for our curriculum, the why, and we were always saying about pedagogy for that very reason, as Dylan Williams said, that we know that as much as it's important, and our National Professional Learning Programme is supporting middle leaders, senior leaders, to be good curriculum designers, to be able to embark on that process. But absolutely, if we haven't got teaching and learning in our classrooms, then it doesn't matter how fantastic our curriculum is. And that's the bit that I think really, when you do engage with middle leaders, it excites all of us. It excites me as a practitioner. It's the reason we came into teaching, isn't it? Because we wanted to be able to bring alive learning for children and young people. And as you said, I think Successful Futures highlighted for us those 12 pedagogical principles, but it's realizing that there aren't just 12 approaches for us to consider in pedagogy, and that pedagogy is often, it's always evolving. So it's really important to be engaging collaboratively in conversations about pedagogy, certainly for secondary schools, engaging with other AOLEs, other faculties, to really get to grips and under the skin of the teaching and learning that may be happening over in a maths faculty, and distilling down why does that work, what's successful about that, and how can we emulate that maybe, or adapt it for the humanities faculty, or and the same taking the foundation phase pedagogical approach perhaps, and not replicating it because that wouldn't be appropriate, but looking at that, rich in vocabulary, experiential, and learner-centered, and saying, well, how can we now actually take those principles and apply them right the way up to the 16-year-old? So definitely pedagogy is super exciting, and we've got that national pedagogy project at the moment called Talk Pedagogy. So if you go to Curriculum for Wales, if you click on Hub Curriculum for Wales and go to the professional development section, you'll see then that there's a whole section there on the Talk Pedagogy project. So we're trying now to have these national conversations about pedagogy and bringing it to the forefront of schools' conversations. And that's super exciting, I think, for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. Because the goal really would be not to have to make the choice that Dylan Williams is highlighting there, isn't it? You don't want to have to choose either pedagogy or curriculum. You want a great curriculum that's taught really, really effectively. And that's the whole vision, really, isn't it, for the curriculum for Wales, that your pedagogical approaches really are appropriate to what's being taught. They're really appropriate for the learners, for their prior knowledge and understanding, for their position, for their point on the continuum of learning, that you've got the right approach for the right task and the right approach for the right end goal in mind. So thanks ever so much, Kath.
Yeah, thank you, Nikki. Lovely as always to talk curriculum with you.